Hey guys, it's Stephanie here. It's May 17th, 2019, and you're listening to my podcast. Okay, so we're gonna start this off a little bit different, obviously. After listening to my first podcast, the intro, I didn't realize how I was going off on so many areas, and I feel like I'm just so talkative, and I don't know, I could go on and on and on if I don't stop myself. So, but I think we'll just start off with news. Like, there's a few headlines that have been going around. And I mean, we're not going to talk about like those negative, like, I hate reading the news and just reading all these negative things, those trade wars going on between the States and China. You know what's more interesting? And I don't know about you, but I think it's more of the fashion and technology and what's coming out. I just read something here that in fashion now, they're saying that the biggest handbag trend for spring is, you know, like, is the clear clutch toques. And so totes. And so Chanel and Fendi has released, and they kind of started this trend where they release their own version and in their runway shows, they're clear tote bags and, you know, the, even the small mini handbags. And it's been going, like, it's been like everywhere. And every retail store, I've started to notice this as well. It's just like one of the most popular styles that's going on. And personally, I love it. I think it's a very chic style. I think it should have been maybe released a long time ago. It's just like, and think about it, if you had it your own like clear bag and you're like, it just removes all that time of you going through your own bag and trying to find your stuff. But then again, if you were to have a clear bag, you have your period or whatever. This is something I would probably freak out about. It's like, where do you put your tampon? Like, I mean, you're just not going to whip out your bag and have it clear and walk around, you know, go to work and people know exactly what's inside. But I'm starting to, like, a lot of these clear bags now, like, there's quite a wide versions of them that Spring Shoes is also has released. Aldo is getting on this. Michael Kors has a really nice one. I was just looking at that one. It's so, so cute. Anthropology, I don't know if you guys ever, you know, shopped at Anthropology, but they also have a crossbody clear clutch. It's so cute with a gold chain. I'll send you a link. Maybe if anyone's interested, just message me and I can send you a link of how it looks. And like, the Michael Kors one is so nice. It's called the Michael Kors Whitney Large Clear Leather Convertible Shoulder Bag. It's a crossbody bag with gold chain and like brown, more like brown leather stitchings all over. It's so, so nice. Anyways, so like, yeah, like, what are your things? I mean, like, what are your concerns? Like, it's a great trend. I love it. I think it looks so cute. Like I said, like, you have your period. You bring a bunch of pads, obviously, tampons. What do you do with that? And but like, I'm just looking at the one from Aldo. They're showing that like they have like an inner clutch within the plastic, like the actual clear bag. So if you do have items that are private, you have a little clutch that is cotton within the bag that you could also have it inside. There's always a solution, guys. So that one I thought was pretty cool. That's what's trending for this spring. Another interesting thing that I came across was a designer called Rene, and I'm not probably gonna butcher his last name, so all you people who are Italian, just bear with me, I can't put the accent on. So his name is Rene Caviglia, and he's a shoe designer. It's quite remarkable, the story. I was reading this article, and he visited the Holt Renfrew store in Vancouver to, as he introduced his brand to the market, to the store. So they're not selling it in Holt Renfrew. It's available. I checked the Holt Renfrew site. There's quite a wide variety of selections. There's probably over 10 of his collection pieces that are now being sold there. What's interesting about him, he's actually comes from a third generation shoemaker family. So his whole family from all three generations, or like two generations prior to his, they've all were shoemakers. And what was kind of interesting, like if you check out his designs, they're very, very classic designs. And so wherein he says in his article that he is quite inspired by the older kind of like, you know, more of the historical kind of designs. You could see it through his, like, how classical a lot of, you know, the elements he adds and the hardware he puts on the shoes. A lot of pearls and more of lighter floral, I mean, more lighter, softer colors versus if you were to compare it to Alexander McQueen, which is very dark, dramatic, and shocking. He has a bit of a different approach and a different eye. I think it's quite remarkable. And he did mention that, you know, people keep asking, how long does it take to make a pair of shoes from scratch? And I believe all of them are made in Europe. I don't think he outsources it, but he says it could go anywhere from 8 to 12 hours. But that's not the important question, he says. He says it's more important people should start asking, you know, there's so many questions on how to make it that are from generations and generations. So like the secrets and the knowledge you need to build that shoe, that is different, he says. It's completely different because, and you know what? I mean, I've taken my shoemaking class in London, and my professor, he actually also came from a family that were shoemakers. Like his parents were shoemakers. And you would be so surprised, like this, like, I mean, the craftsmanship that goes behind it, the knowledge, the feel, it's so intuitive that you can't even put it into a document. And that's the kind of skill set I admire completely. Those are the people who you can never replace. It's because it's all touchy-feely. So, and I remember that. Like, I remember when I was, like, I was kind of working on my pair of heels, and I was pulling the leather, and then I was nailing and, you know, doing all that stuff. Thinking, and I felt like it felt right. It felt like it was, I was doing the right thing. But he right off the bat knew that no, this is done wrong. It's uneven. It's a bit loose. You need to pull harder. You need to nail it here, not there. It's just all those things that you won't ever be told. A book, not even a robot could even like explain it. So, I mean, as technology is starting to become a lot more embedded into our lifestyles, I think it's that craftsmanship skill that will persevere versus, you know, all that knowledge. And I think it's just like a different skill set that's going to become so hard to find. Like, it's going to be so difficult to find people who actually know how to build a shoe from scratch or know how to make a dress without using any sort of machines or technology, whatever. It's going to be hard to find those individuals. But you also need to embed technology somehow, whether it's through your marketing or any outlet of how you're going to process your business and, you know, execute. So yeah, I found that was interesting. His prices for the shoes, they range anywhere from like $1,300 to like $1,500. So I mean, it's quite comparable to some of the high, you know, luxury designer brands out there. I don't see anything that's shocking with that, especially since it's made in Italy. Another thing that I've came across here is like in the news that made the Vancouver Sun is Canadian-made t-shirts. Brand Square and Heart Focus on Fit Fabric and Ethical Production. So I just kind of, I read that's in the headlines that was on the news, on the newspaper there. And it's just like, you don't see that many Canadian designers at all. I mean, not at all, and I don't want to mark everyone off, but like, it's quite rare, hey? So this one is a designer from Toronto. It's a Toronto-based company. And so behind their story, pretty much. It was something that they wanted to do. They wanted to source ethically. And so they're very simple, long sleeve t-shirts. I don't know what they're like, but I'm definitely curious. It's made in Canada. The fabric and the fit of choice is important. They put a lot of time into the design process and making it sustainable product and healthy for the environment. Well, I'll dive a little bit deeper in what exactly does that mean. It means that this is that they focus a brand firmly on providing fair wages and proper work environment. So obviously you've heard stories about Loblaws and that brand, Joe Fresh, and how they outsourced everything to Bangladesh in a factory there where the structure of the building, the factory, was never inspected. It was built without proper inspection, that the work environment was safe, which resulted to over 1,000 people that actually died from that when the building collapsed. And that made breaking news. I want to say it was about, I don't know what year, I can't recall. I felt like it was 2015. I don't know why I'm set on 2015. I'll have to go back and check which year. But it made headlines. It was so devastating. I think from there on, I did change my perspective and my viewpoint, especially when you go to those Forever 21 stores, you're buying t-shirts for like $5. It makes you question, like, how much was the labor? What did they actually pay their employees? Like, and what conditions were they working under when they made the shirt? It's great to get these good deals, and I start to realize, I mean, I've came to appreciate that, you know, I'd rather look into quality and have something been made ethically than outsourcing, get a good deal, buy a t-shirt for $5, use it for once, and then I have to throw it out the next day. Like, for me, I find that, like, not only are you creating and enhancing waste, I feel like when you invest your money into a good quality, if you could just hold back but spend the money, it might cost you a bit more, but on a good quality t-shirt, not only will you feel good wearing it, but you would also admire it and take care of it a lot better than if it was something that cost pennies. And knowing that, you know, the labor and it was made ethically, I truly believe it changes your mindset. So this designer, it's made all in Canada, it's sourced ethically, wages are fair. And so that's kind of their platform in the business. And I'm really, really interested to try it out. How about next episode or next couple episode? I'll make an order and I'll give my personal review on this. I think it's something worth looking into. And like I said, the brand is called, let me make sure I got this right before I give you guys the wrong brand. Where the fuck is it? Okay. Square and Heart. That's the brand. So guys, please check them out. I'm not sponsored by them, so don't think that I'm like working for them for any reason. Like, I literally am going through some interesting headlines that's going on right now. So don't think I'm not sponsored. So don't even worry about it. And honestly, I'm going to try them out as well. Like, I'm curious, right? So the t-shirts can range from $40 for a long sleeve. For a t-shirt, sorry, and then a long sleeve could be $80. So, and they have limited edition items. It's just very, very specific. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So today I was in the mall, did a few browsing and stuff, and I just want to share with you a few things that were quite interesting. Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but Dior has been really stepping up the game, especially with their kid in heel, sling back, pointy toes heels. I find them, they've come out with quite a few variety, and they all look so, so beautiful. I don't know if you have a chance to go check out Dior. The sites, they just have a wide range of colors, different fabrics, and just, ugh, like, I held one up and I couldn't even let it go. It was just so amazing. Anyways, so as opposed to the news, those are just a few things that kind of came up and wanted to share with you guys. And so it was quite interesting. My day went pretty well. I went to work as usual. Actually, I couldn't even, like, I woke up so early. I woke up at like 6 o'clock, like 6 a.m. My toilet was making the weirdest noise. It was making such a weird sound. I woke up. I had anxiety. My heart was literally like coming out of my chest because I woke up and I was like, oh my God, did I turn on the stove? For some reason, I ran to the kitchen thinking that there was some sort of, it was like a beeping sound, but it was coming from my toilet. And so it happened at 3 a.m. I couldn't even sleep. It was just driving me crazy. And then not alone that, you know, I had so much things at work that I still have to like complete. And so I went to start at work 6 o'clock, made myself a nice breakfast. And guys, like I'm telling you, like this week, I don't know what's gone into me, but like just something within me just snapped where it's like, honestly, I hate not being prepared. I hate going into a day and not knowing what I'll eat or not having a meal prepped, not knowing what are my goals for today, not setting goals. And I just like this week, I've just felt I'm really happy with myself and I'm really, really proud that I've taken that, you know, I didn't just like push that aside. I'm starting to take more initiative in watching what I eat and being conscious of just like my health in general. Not that I'm sick, just because I think, you know, you should start looking into that stuff and check in with your body to see how you really feel. We lose touch of that, especially with our busy lives and what goes on in a day. Anyways, made a nice breakfast. That's all I wanted to say. Had a great coffee. Great coffee. Whoops. Hiccups. Oh my God. I literally will have hiccups throughout this whole podcast. I'm so sorry. Oh my goodness. I might have to stop. Anyways. Okay. Oh my God. This hiccup is just like so intense. Like it's like throwing my chest like up. So yeah. And okay, where was I, guys? Help me through this, honestly. Yeah, so go to work. Everything's going smoothly. Whatever. Come home. Did some went to the mall. Did some browsing. Was in the lookout for a nice dress. Something that would catch my attention where I could be like, jaw open. Oh my God, I need it. I haven't seen anything. So just kind of went home. And I was just so tired. Like, I literally, like, got to my room, changed, dropped off, like, literally took off all my clothing, jumped in my PJs, set my alarm for 8 o'clock, slept, and woke up at 9:30. And you know that feeling when you wake up and you're like, you take a nap towards the end of the day, and you wake up and you're like, is this the next day? What day are we? Like, I'm so lost. That's how I felt. I literally woke up and I was like, what day? I'm like, is it Friday? I'm like, shit, did I miss work? Like, what time is it? Freaking out, look at my phone. I'm like, oh God, it's still the same day. Oh my, I wished I woke up the next day just because now I don't know, I have all this energy. I don't know what to do. Checked in with my sisters. So my sisters, we don't live in the same city. I live like 3 hours away from them. So I live in Calgary, Alberta, and they live in Edmonton, Alberta. 3 hour drive, and it's by far the most boringest drive ever. It's just completely flat. Like Alberta is like farmland, I guess. Like it will, I don't want to say that because if I have you listeners from Alberta, I don't want to say that. But you know, it's kind of like oil and gas. So I mean, it's not that big city. Calgary's a nicer city, I'd say. Sorry, guys. Edmonton's not the greatest, but it's just kind of more family-oriented. They're both kind of family-oriented, but Edmonton's like more family-oriented, you know? Turf, 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 turf. Anyways, and yeah, and then checked in with my sisters, and it was like by far the only thing that's going on is like, funny story about my brother.
I'm sorry, Jay, if I had to expose you, but like it was kind of weird. You know, I got to share this. It's just like, okay, so my mom received a call from the principal, right? So my brother is in grade, I want to say grade six. I'm such a horrible sister. I don't even know my brother's grade. He's 12. He's in grade six, right? And so my mom's at work. She receives a call from the school. She looks at her phone. She's like, oh, maybe Jay's not feeling good. So the principal asked my mom. She's like, hey, I just want to let you know your son, it's like who often picks up your son? And she said, oh, well, like, yeah, his uncle picks him up, right? And then she's like, just let you know, like, Jay's gonna have to stay indoors because there's a kid from another school who wants to like beat him up. And so it must have got all, it went all the way up to the principal. The principal heard about it and didn't feel like it was safe for my brother to be waiting outside. So that was the news, and we were all concerned. I heard about it. That was not today, but we heard about that story yesterday. But today there was more information about what goes on behind the story. What was the reason why the boy wants to beat up my brother? Who knows, right? So today my sister spoke to the principal, and she pretty much went to her and be like, what's the story? Like, give me the dirt. And so pretty much my brother, he's 12, guys, like, very shockingly, he has a thing with a girl there, like another girl in his class, or I don't know if he's in the class, but seeing some girl, she has a boyfriend from another school, and that kid wants to beat up my brother. But you know what's even more shocking is that there's more to that. Like, he has Instagram, he's been, you know, messaging her. They've been kind of having a mature conversation for at the age of 12, where it's like, you shouldn't even be speaking like that. He's using words that I'm not going to say, but obviously, like, no 12-year-old or even like no one should be even saying that. It just almost surprises me the fact that you really don't. I mean, you will never know the full story. And I mean, at home, he's so quiet and he is always on his phone. He's always gaming, but you don't know what really is going on behind scenes. And I think what was missing is that fact that we trusted him. Like, we trust that he's not that kind of kid. And now we're just quite surprised that how did you, like, you have a girlfriend, like, you were keeping it a secret. So you're not the victim after all. And what are you doing? Like, this is getting too sexual. Like, you know what I mean? Like, kids are growing up too fast now. And who knows what else they're watching or looking at, what pictures they receive. What are they saying through text message and stuff behind their phones? It just makes me kind of like, it's obviously something to be worried about if you're a parent and, like, I don't have kids. But, like, obviously I can see where my mom's coming from. Like, I think parents will have to pay more closer attention to, especially with social media and technology being so embedded into our lives. Information is just easily accessible. And to have that communication, that, you know, that conversation openly, I think it's important. And I feel like perhaps maybe because he's only the only boy in the family, he feels like he can't speak to anyone. But it makes me really sad to feel that as if why he didn't feel like he could speak to anyone, at least in our family. And we do have a big family, and word gets around. Like, if you tell something to one person, it'll go all the way to the Philippines, honestly. Like, and maybe the fact that we are like that, it is kind of scary for him to open up and to express how he feels or what goes on in school or whatnot. But whatever what's going on, I mean, it was completely, like, I'm not there. It sucks because I'm not there. But next time I see him, I really want to just, like, have that conversation. Hopefully him to feel safe around me, because the last thing you want is, like, and I don't want to be the mother role. Like, I'm not trying to be his mother. I'm not there to discipline him. I'm here to be there as support. So wherever he needs support, and I think that should be like that, especially because we're siblings, right? So yeah, it was just like the funniest thing ever. Like, I thought it was funny, but also I was like, what the heck is going on with this generation? It's so weird. Like, when I was 12, I was like literally playing with chalks and stuff like that, like, you know, on the sidewalk, creating those skipping games, skipping rope, like playing with my bike. Like, I've never even came to that realization or even had that idea in my mind of, like, you know, sexual fantasies or whatever you can call it. Like, I don't know, like, kids need to be more creative and get the fuck off their devices. Like, go outside, play soccer, read a book, like, I don't know, study fucking like insects or be obsessed by something. But like, come on, to be obsessed by like the opposite sex, are you kidding me right now? Like, that's insane. Like, it's not what it's all about. It's like, there's more to what's going on in life. Understand what the world is coming to. Learn about technology, you know, experiment, try new things. Like, I don't know, get out of your comfort zone, be active, go play soccer. I can list a whole bunch of stuff. Like, there's so much things you could do. Like, it's just like, I think kids are just so tied up to that. And I mean, at the very end, it's the parents. You can't say anything about it. It's the parents. Anyways, enough about that. Obviously, like, my favorite topic to speak on, and hopefully for all you girls out there, I love going through and talking about, like, previous relationships and whatnot. So this one is more along the lines of, you know, I guess it would be, how do you know if this is a guy that you can see yourself with in the long run, or if you can tell if it's a fling or not. And like, you know what, one thing I feel like it's quite common in our generation, like, what's going on, it's like ghosting someone. I hate that word, ghosting. And I know, like, Ariana Grande has that song called Ghosting or something, but I just find that such a, like, it's a word where it's like, okay, I don't want to embed it. Like, we shouldn't be even at that point where we have to be, you know, where it's popular, it's trending. Like, if you say, oh, she ghosted me, everyone knows exactly what that means. And I mean, it's been happening, obviously, prior to the word or the term coming out. But it's just become more fluid when people speak on it. It's like, it's quite common that happens. Like, if you're to be single, I mean, obviously, I can't fully, like, relate at the moment of being ghosted or whatever. I mean, I have been ghosted, but don't take it to heart. I feel like people take it too seriously. But I think what's missing in our generation, or at least what's going on now in relationships and the whole, like, dating apps, is that it's just so easy to get a relationship going, and it's also so easy to just let it go and end it, because it's so easy. Like, I mean, if I were to, like, just start a new relationship to create an account, I could probably have, like, maybe, like, I don't know, if I'm lucky, probably, like, at least two guys, like, going at the same time that I could be potentially interested in but not fully committed. And at the same time, the next day, I could even stop talking to them and get a next, like, five guys. Like, that's crazy talk to me, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be this easy. And because it's so easy to get someone's attention and to have that fling and to have that physical connection, that's the easy part. But after that part is all done, I mean, it's all work from there on. And, you know, like, my previous relationship before Randy was with a guy, and obviously not a girl, guys, but, like, I mean, nothing wrong with girls, but not interested. But it's with, I mean, I met him when I was 21, and he was, I think, 25. I was at that age where I still was super interested to see what else is out there. I was partying. I loved going out and having fun, drinking, whatever. I was just at that stage where I just wasn't really ready to settle down. But it just came that we met each other at the right time. And it was just like an instant connection.
And then it turned out that we ended up dating for 3 years. We'd been together for 3 years, and then it wasn't until I moved that I felt like, and it wasn't actually a lie, it wasn't until I moved, it would happen before, where I just felt like something was missing, and I just didn't know, but we worked things through, like, I'm not gonna say I was the best girlfriend, maybe, but he did change me, and I want to say, like, every relationship, there's, it gives you something, and it also takes something away from you. So, like, for that relationship, it took away my youthfulness. It took away me, like, I didn't go out as often as I wanted to if I was single. I didn't hang out with that much of my girlfriends because I was always with him. So it did take away that experience. But at the same time, it gave me more because I grew from it. I learned how to work with someone. I was so used to just, like, ending things, starting a new relationship, nothing goes wrong, like, something goes wrong, ending it, starting a new relationship, something goes wrong, ending it. So I was so used to, and was in the habit of doing that, and I just felt like if, and I was also in the habit of, if it wasn't exciting, I just kind of lay like, oh, well, you know what, can we just, like, I think the sparks are gone or whatever, without, like, actually trying to work on it. And, like, so dating my ex was by far the most growth I've had when I, especially because I didn't have anyone who put the time into me and who helped me grow, and I appreciate him so much. And it's sad to say, because I feel like it was a great relationship. I had nothing bad to say about the person himself, like him as a person. He was so respectful. He was so kind. I really wish, and I told myself this multiple times, I really wish I could just fall in love with him. I really wish that, you know, that relationship would have worked and he was the one, because it was just, it was almost too good to be true, honestly. Not that I have or I'm hurt by it. I'm not hurt by it, but it was by far, like, he was the kindest person and the most generous person I've met. Aside from my boyfriend now, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, I admire him. I really do. He's a very great guy, and he's with a girl. It seems like he's in a good relationship. So as long as he's happy, then I think everything's great. And so, yeah, like, it wasn't an easy relationship between myself and my ex. We were inseparable in the beginning, and I felt like the first year was like that, and then I came too close to the second end of the second year, where I just felt like I was looking for something a bit more. I still wanted someone. I was missing someone who would be able to, I can learn from, and I felt like that I wasn't growing in the relationship at a point. It hit a point where it just became so comfortable that you're not growing with them. He's not learning anything. I wasn't learning anything. We were both not sharing anything together or trying a new experience. And I felt like I kept giving him the hint to saying, like, I think we need to work on it, our relationship. I think we need to find how we can develop each other, or, like, let's push each other, because I felt like we're just hitting a plateau and it was just going too steady. I saw the future of how it would have been, and I didn't want to be in a relationship where I live like a mundane life and like just super ordinary. I just felt like there was nothing that I was benefiting from out of it. So after moving to Calgary and getting a co-op, like a work term, I think he saw it coming, and we broke up. We decided it was the best way, and have a mature conversation. If either or wanted to speak, we just freely call each other up, with no bad feelings. And there is never bad feelings or anything I've ever said that was negative about him, other than it just, like, honestly didn't work out.
And so I think next episode, I'll speak a little bit more about where I'm at today. So my love story with Randy. And I mean, right now it's a bit of a, we're in a steady pace, but we have a long history together. We've also been together for 3 years. It's going on to the third year. We're on the third year. But at the very end, I came to realize, like, honestly, guys, when people always ask, and I hate when people ask me this question, how long have you been with him? And then you say 3 years, like, oh yeah, it's serious. Guys, 3 years doesn't mean anything. The number of years or how long you've been with a person doesn't tell you whether it's serious or not. It all depends on you. Like, do you want to take it? Do you both take it seriously? If you guys both take it seriously, you could be in month one, or you could be like in the third month. Like, who cares? Or even like year 10 or whatever. Like, doesn't even matter the duration. Like, just because someone's been together for like more than like, I don't know, like a pretty, like 10 years, does that define the strength of the relationship? No, it doesn't. They could be freaking miserable and like trying to kill each other or something. Like, trust me, I've heard these stories so many times. Like, so who cares? Like, all that stuff doesn't matter. It's like, are you guys happy? Yes or no? Yeah. Are you work well as a team? Yes or no? That's important too. Do you guys communicate well? That's so important. Anyways, well, I'm going to wrap everything up. I hope you enjoyed my talk. Let me know if there's any topics you want me to kind of go off on, because I can talk all day, like literally. And yeah, I hope to hear from you guys soon. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.